And again, good to be back in the auditorium, though it is a encampment, a military encampment for Vacation Bible School. So things are a little different, and we have sandbags here to protect from possible dangers lurking about. And anyway, all the camo on the stained glass, which is actually kind of pretty over there. It's got a different sort of a look. But if you are a visitor, which I don't see any visitors, but if you are, this is not normal. Although some would say we're not normal, and if you compare us with so many others, we're not. But we are celebrating Vacation Bible School. We had our Shepherd's Bible School last week and had a wonderful time. Appreciate many, many folks praying for me as I was sick a week ago, starting really during the fair. I started getting sick. Sometimes it's the dust and the smoke and everything there. But then it just got worse. And by last Sunday, I was struggling with my voice. And then was Shepherd's Bible School. But fortunately, we had Captain Courageous here, and he was able to do a lot of the things that I normally do, and that was really a blessing. So I appreciate your prayers. Some of you are smiling over that. But anyway, you'll get to tonight. We'll have our promotional video for Vacation Bible School, and you get to see an interview that I was able to do with Captain Courageous, and also a special guest. So you get to see a little bit of Vacation Bible School if you're not a part. Many of you are a part of that, and that is good, and we always have a good time with our Bible school. I can assure you that this morning in Sunday school, nothing, you don't have to worry. It'll be all right. Okay, good. All right, so praise the Lord. Let's move right into Sunday school lesson, and we are in Revelation chapter 16, and we're on section 6 of our study of Revelation. And I've entitled that, The Anger of God. And we are on lesson number 32, which is entitled, God's Attack on the Earth. Does anyone need lesson 32? Lesson 32. All right, we have some. Glenn, we have a couple that need lesson 32. All right, raise your hands again so that Glenn can get those to you. Amen. Anyone else? Paul up here also needs lesson 32. And Joyce, you're doing okay. Joyce had a car accident, but got that message, I believe it was Monday, wasn't it? Monday evening we got that message. So anyway, everything's good? Feeling all right? A little shaky. All right. Well, we've been praying for you, so good. All right. And our verse for Revelation, or for this lesson, Revelation 16:1, and let's go ahead and we'll say the reference, and then the verse, and then the reference again, and begin. Revelation 16:1, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Revelation 16:1, and again, Revelation 16:1, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Revelation 16:1. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity again to open up the Word of God and study it. And I pray that this class would learn some things, each of us would grow because of our time together this morning. And I pray you'll be with all of our classes here at Berean Baptist Church, that we'll just open up the Word of God and let your Holy Spirit guide us into the truth that is in the Scriptures. And so save anyone who may be lost here today, and just bless this time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I do apologize for the sniffing. Sometimes that happens, and just a little bit of voice issues, is so much better than last Sunday. Last Sunday was very, very difficult to preach. And this Sunday, just kind of at the tail end of whatever this sickness was, I did run a fever through the week, and I don't know, some sort of a sinus infection maybe or something. But anyway, I do apologize. I try very hard not to. I've had people listen to preachers preach, and And they, you know, they're sniffing and all, and you kind of get irritated by that. And I try to be aware, but better to sniff than to drip. Amen? Would you agree? I mean, it just seems that way to me. But my wife would say, honey, don't. You know, but anyway, it's Bible school. We can say pretty much anything we need to. All right, we are at the middle of number 6, Roman numeral 6. He attacks the river Euphrates. And, of course, this is preparation for the Battle of Armageddon. Many people, when you mention a study of the book of Revelation, first thing they think, oh, the Battle of Armageddon. Here it's been 2.5, maybe 3 years. I don't remember when we started our study. But we're finally talking about that Battle of Armageddon. Well, the book of Revelation is not about the Battle of Armageddon. That's just the end. That's the final battle. But certainly, this vile judgment is a major judgment. And the Euphrates River is dried up, the Bible says. And so we spent a little time on this last week, talking about verse 12 through 16. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. The water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And we did mention last week that the kings of the east, we always think, typically we think of just China. And but really, the east of the Euphrates would also include Iraq, Iran, India, China, Japan, the Philippines. I mean, there are many what would probably be powerful or could be powerful. Korea could be very powerful in that day with all sorts of military capabilities. So again, let's remember this barrier. We talked about the Euphrates River being key in all of history, a key military point. It's mentioned often in history, and how that it is it's a natural barrier. The Euphrates River in some places is 3,600 feet wide, and it's 1,800 miles long. So as you can tell, it is a very formidable barrier, about 30 feet deep in many spots. So it's not easily crossed. It's not easily dealt with. And so it's been a dividing line. Well, God dries it up for the Battle of Armageddon. And again, let's remember that it's God's will and it's in the Word of God that these armies all converge at Armageddon, that this battle take place. And again, we have the understanding of that battle, that this is man versus God. This is man's attempt, if you will, at fighting with God Almighty. Now again, that's not something new. Man has been fighting with God for years. Amen? Unfortunately, you and I have fought against God at times, and that is certainly going to be a losing battle on our part, but we have fought against God, and we certainly don't like to admit that and don't like to recognize it that way. I just made a boo-boo. Oh, I just, you know, thought my way was better. Well, don't fight God. Let's just yield to the Lord. Well, so eventually the kings of the whole world are going to converge on Armageddon. But here's how it takes place, and verse 13 gives us an idea. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now, again, like frogs, the Bible says. In Exodus, we've been comparing Exodus plagues with these vials. There is a good comparison there. Many of them are very similar. And in Exodus, if you do a study of that, you'll find that the plagues were direct attacks on the gods of the Egyptians, so that, again, they can find out and they can know that God is God, and there will be no small g gods that are going to be bigger than God. And we need to understand that too. And that's going to be true certainly during the tribulation as man is blaspheming God. God is going to raise up and God is going to show them that he is in fact capital G God. But these spirits come out of the mouth of the dragon and the beast and the false prophet, and they're like frogs. The plague of frogs in Egypt was one of the nasty plagues, one of the nastiest plagues, talked about how things would stink with the frogs dying and all that. And to be honest with you, I don't know of anything any uglier than a frog. Now, Misty, is she's our school secretary, she collects frogs. I have not real ones, but stuffed frogs. She has frogs in her office and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know why I allow stuff like that. I really don't. But anyway, she likes frogs. Now, I don't know why anybody would like a frog. I think they're just downright ugly. Frogs are slimy. Frogs, you know, the old thing that they'll give you warts. And toads, I guess, will give you warts. But they're all the same. Toad, frog, they're all nasty. They're just ugly looking. And I've never really liked frogs. I think it's fitting that that they are compared here with demons, and that is what these spirits are. They are, it says they're like frogs, demons. I've never personally entertained a demon. Well, I've never seen one in person. I've certainly known their presence, but these demons, they come out of the mouth. So we have the idea here, there is spoken deception, spoken demonic activity taking place here that is gathering everybody to this battle at Armageddon. These spirits of devils, verse 14, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And so again, God uses the demonic influence to gather everybody to Armageddon. And so this idea, they're passed on from the beast and from the dragon and from the false prophet. Again, all three of these, the unholy trinity, if you will, they're passing on these miracles and these things, seducing the world leaders to attack at Armageddon. Miracles are often used. The influence of miracles, the influence of supernatural things, often used to deceive people. Pharaoh, of course, one of the things that he ordered his magicians when Moses had the frogs come up in the land, the magicians were able to do the same thing. It's like, but what a dumb thing. You know, what a silly thing to do. It's like, okay, this is bad enough. Well, let's get our magicians to make it worse. And it, one of those things, again, the foolishness of sin. The magicians were able to do it too. But again, why? Why would the magicians do the same? Well, again, to deceive. And Satan is all about deceiving man. He is all about deceit. He is all about trying to get people to follow him and to follow his way. And this whole idea is getting all the armies drawn to the Middle East, to the Battle of Armageddon. And so we see how that happens. We see exactly, you know, the way that takes place. We see deception. We see demons influencing these world leaders to get their armies to converge upon Armageddon. Now, again, what speculation of so many things. Is this a hatred of Israel? Certainly there is scripture that talks about that. Look at Zechariah chapter 12, back in the Old Testament, minor prophets, Zechariah chapter 12, right before Malachi. And we'll look at a couple things in Zechariah. Zechariah 12 and verse 2, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." We can certainly say there is scripture where Jerusalem is a target for all people. They're being a pain. Of course, we could say that today, couldn't we? A little bit. I mean, Israel, tiny little Israel, just seems to be a thorn in the side of so many, especially all those Muslim nations. And yet, It seems that CNN would one of these days do some sort of a story or something on how that all these nations are trying to crush little Israel, and they can't. Yeah, it seems like they would, wouldn't it? Seems like, you know, all these people, all the power, all the strength, all the military, all that, you know, would be able to do that. And CNN would say, why can't they crush them? Well, because God's God, that's why. And so again, we have just a wonderful, wonderful truth about that. So again, look at Zechariah 14 and verse 2. Zechariah 14 and verse 2, the Bible says, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Again, so we have an idea here that all these armies are going to be drawn together, and is it against Israel? Is it a hatred of Israel? Well, certainly we can't dismiss that. Is it a hatred of Antichrist? Again, the idea that Antichrist has turned against Israel, Antichrist has turned against everybody, and true colors are starting to show. Or, as we see at the Battle of Armageddon, are they all gathered really thinking that they are going to fight God and conquer the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it does seem throughout Revelation, it does seem that the world knows the source of their afflictions. It does seem that way. It does look like the world recognizes the source of all this affliction, all this pain, all this hurt, all that's going on. And it does seem as man is blaspheming God through these different afflictions, it seems that the world recognizes that God is God. It always amazes me, people that say there is no God, and then they use God's name in vain. You know, they constantly, oh, we don't believe in God, we don't think, and then they'll curse and say something about God. And during the tribulation, of course, there seems to be a recognition that God is behind everything. And does the influence of the false prophet, the influence of the Antichrist, the satanic influence that certainly will prevail during the tribulation, does that influence man as Nimrod was very strongly able to influence people to try to take down God? And it's an interesting thing. Back to Revelation 6 and verse 16, again, several years ago, we were there, it seems. Revelation 6 and verse 16. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Again, kings of the earth, great men, rich men, chief captains, all these people, they're hiding from. Again, it would appear they know this is God, and they realize God is behind it. In chapter 16, verse 11, after the fifth vial is poured out, they blaspheme the God of heaven. And again, this is very specific. They're not just blaspheming anyone. They're blaspheming the God of heaven. And it's very, very clear they're blaspheming, verse 9, the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. There seems to be no question as to which direction their blasphemy goes. And so with the demonic influence, the satanic influence, which is going to bring on hatred, it's going to bring on blame, it's going to bring on accusation. Certainly, God's name has been blasphemed and slurred and attacked over the years and through the teaching year after year after year of humanism, where man is the measure of all things. Is it really possible that man thinks they can bring God down? Well, deception will take you anywhere. It'll take you places that you've never thought you would go. And that's exactly what I believe will take place at this worldwide attack on God. I mean, man will calculate their weaponry. They will calculate what they have available. They will calculate as best as man can, and they will believe somehow if we all gather in the Middle East, we will bring down God Almighty. And what a foolish thinking. Again, you cannot discount what a demonic influence can do. I've watched demonic influence destroy life after life after life, where people, they believe garbage, they believe junk, they hear hatred and bitterness and blame and accusation, and all of a sudden they find themselves in a total mess. And it's going to happen. And it's going to happen very. And I love the way God makes it clear. These are unclean spirits that are spreading all this stuff out. And I'll tell you, the voice of unclean spirits is in our world today more than it has ever been. And that stuff spread with Facebook and the internet. And I'm not, again, I'm don't, if you do Facebook and you do it right, I'm for you 100%. I'm just saying it, the media outlets today that people can spread their garbage and spread this stuff, it is just unbelievable. Amen. It is so, and it happens so, it can happen so fast. It's just amazing. So, again, this demonic influence. You know, again, we've had years and years of Satan's music, years and years of Satan's philosophy, years and years of Satan's teaching, and it just it's not going to be that hard of a sell to say God's causing all this trouble. God's got those sores on your body. That's God's fault, and it's not going to be one of those things where people stop and they say, wow, I thought you said there wasn't a God. I thought you've always said there's no God. No. It's going to be one of those things where, you know what? You say, well, what about the false prophet? I thought he's a religious leader, and he is going to be promoting every small g God that there has ever been, going especially toward good old God, man, humanism. And it's going to be, because again, how would a man ever think they could bring down God unless they're convinced they can bring down God? And humanism does that. So, anyway, enough of that. Let's move on. I believe, I got to put on my glasses, but I think Brother Nordman and his lovely wife just walked in. That is Brother Nordman. Good to see you folks. God bless you. And missionaries of ours in Australia and good friends. And I knew he was going to be here. So you got a lesson and everything so you can follow us? Did somebody give you? Good. Okay, praise the Lord. Good to have you folks here. All right, let's look at verse 15. We continue. Behold, I come as a thief. Does that sound familiar? That sounds familiar. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And again, you know, different things get our attention, and some commentators believe that God is going to remove the last remaining saved people. Some say that is, it's going to be a removal, kind of like a rapture taking place, and all the people that have gotten saved during the tribulation are going to be removed, or perhaps an announcement of the return of the Lord or something like that. But understand that God is going to protect his people. There's no question about that. But I don't know. I know there are going to be people alive going into the millennium. We know that to be true. So, verse 16, it goes on, says he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And I want to close this section with how God uses Satan to gather the people. He uses Satan to gather the people at Armageddon. Don't ever underestimate the will of God and how God puts things together. God is quite able to take care of his business. He always has been, and he always will be. Again, somebody says, boy, you know, it's just such a lucky thing that it was taxing time and Mary and Joseph ended up in Bethlehem. Oh, come on. God is quite able to put all that together. God is quite able to, you know, again, somebody says, wow, you know, it sure was lucky that Pharaoh led his army into the Red Sea. God is quite able to make that divide and that dry ground in the walls of water, make that real appealing to Pharaoh to send his army to their death in the Red Sea. God knows what he's doing. And the Antichrist can say, you know, he'll be such a big shot and he's gonna have so much power and so much control and boy, I got everything going my way. But God knows exactly what he's doing. Folks, don't ever, you know, it is easy to get dismayed at the garbage that's going on around us. It is. It's easy to say, oh, it's like our petition that we signed. And I think our church probably had more signatures than anyone. It's like, well, you know, we don't know if we want to do, you know, but God knows what. He's got it under control. God has it under control. And he knows what he's doing, and he's not worried. You know, you and I may be worried, but we shouldn't because our God has it under control. I love the idea that God is letting the devil do his thing and lead all these people to Armageddon. Just get them all in there together because that's exactly what God said was going to take place. God, you know, he has everything under control. And you may think, boy, it's looking bad. Well, it typically does look bad before it looks good. Because somewhere in there, it comes our faith. Amen? And if it didn't look bad, you wouldn't need to trust. And so it's okay. And it's going to be okay. Armageddon. Har, it comes from the word Har, which means mountain, and Megiddo, which is the Mount of Megiddo. And again, a famous terminology because of the Word of God and a place that people have looked at and the measurements and all of that. And again, it is going to happen one of these days. Could be soon. Could be soon. If the rapture takes place today, then nearly 7 years later, the Battle of Armageddon will take place. And again, it all starts with that river Euphrates. Seems like a simple thing. But again, you watch the plans of God and look at the map of God and you say, why would God dry up the river? Well, because God is removing one of the boundaries that might keep Iran, Iraq, China, Japan, Korea, might keep them from being part of that Battle of Armageddon. God says, oh, we don't want them to have an excuse not to be there. God's got it under control, folks. He really does. Oh, did you hear? You know, the Koreans have nuclear weapons. God knows. He's got it under control. It's okay. It really is okay. And we have got to understand that. I was thinking this water problem in Toledo, which is, you know, I can't even imagine what a headache that would be for a local church. You know, I always try to put myself, so I was praying for Brother Hobbins and praying for Hope Baptist and the Northwest Baptist there in the Toledo area. I was thinking, what would we do? You know, and I don't know what they've done. I don't know if they, because if a child drinks that water and they get sick, you've got serious issues. If you have your doors open. You know, every time we open our doors, we're liable for something. Again, I don't want anybody to get sick or anything. I'm not pushing that aside. I'm just saying, wow, what do you do? How do you keep them away from all your water? And even children aren't supposed to wash their hands. Well, how do you tell them you go to the bathroom, don't wash your hands, kids? That's not good. And you have to, you know, I've just been praying for those guys. Don't know what anybody did, but what a pain. But again, do you know God knows about that? We talk about the waters turning into blood. And well, what about God's people? They're gonna be protected, you know. I forget where it was. I saw it in the news. Someplace water did turn to blood. Does anybody know where that was? Was it China? Somewhere in China? Somewhere there was a chemical. Was it China? Brother Nordman, do you know? Was that China? Was that something you sent to me? He sends me all kinds of stuff. Scares me sometimes. But I think it was. And I mean, literally, there it was. I saw something in the news, and there's a river, and it's blood. And I thought, oh, they said, well, it's a chemical. Well, blood's a chemical. Anyway, but God knows. He knows. He'll take care of you. If he sends a raven to feed his preacher, amen, he'll have it under control. I've never heard what ravens cook. Well, it'd have to be fried chicken. Anyway, some of you aren't. I can't tell if you're smiling. I don't feel the smile. Is this intimidating to you? Is it these guns over here? They have little orange things on them. That means they're not real. Did you know that? How many of you knew that? Okay, good, good. Now you know. They aren't real. Nobody's going to get shot. Well, you never know. All right. Boy, it isn't working today. Let's have our ushers come. That'll help. By the way, we have been challenged, folks. We have been challenged. Okay, are we going to rise up or not? No, that wasn't encouraging. Are we going to rise up? Pitiful. Okay, look. Okay, I'm going to get one of those guns. No. All right. Craig Pearson and the college and career class challenged us. Okay, we look at these chairs. Okay, these chairs are old. Now, we're not against the chairs. We don't dislike them. But the chairs are old, and they don't match our new tables that we just got. So we need 4 new chairs. College and Career said they're going to buy one. Okay, they challenged us. We have to buy one. Okay, it's going to be like $200 to $300 per chair. So we have to give. Okay? I'm just not feeling the love. Brother Tim Cook, his class, you know, he's changed his name over the years. It was Young Families, and then they had more old families in there than young families. And so now I forget what he calls it. But anyway, they are going to buy a chair. Amen? All right. I think we ought to just go ahead and buy 2 chairs because we can do it, and then we'll show Craig Pearson. But I'm not feeling it right now. All right. Of course, we don't live by feeling, right? Pastor, just trust. Okay. Let's move on. I can give you a couple more things here. Number 7, he attacks the land. So we understand River Euphrates is dried up. Armies are marching. They're coming to Armageddon, and he also attacks the land. This is going to be a real problem, this one here, this last vial. Again, let's be reminded, this is the wrath of God. This is God's wrath being poured out. This is not a fun time. It is not a picnic. We read hailstones, and we think of the hail that we have, the piddly little hailstones that put dents in our cars. That's not what this is. We read about an earthquake and we think, oh, a little shake. That is not what this is. Okay, so try to understand verses 17 to 21. Try to multiply whatever you think it is times about 100 or maybe even 1,000, and it's going to be even worse than that. This is bad. This last vial is bad. Why? Because the finale is near. How do you know? Because what verse 17 says, the 7th angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. Now, does anyone want to guess whose voice that is? Is it that hard? Whose voice is it? Wouldn't it be God from the throne? Unless there's an imposter on there, and there isn't. God is speaking, it is done. Now, that is the second of 3 times words like that are used. Can you guess the first time words like that were used? Anybody know? First time. Well, I guess in the creation, Brother Nordman, that's a good catch. I guess I'm thinking more in the New Testament. But yes, God did say it is good, it is done. But I'm thinking of Jesus on the cross. It is finished. The price is paid. Price paid for sin. Boy, what a blessing those words are. It is finished. When Jesus says, it is finished. Tonight we observe the Lord's Supper together. And it's all about, it is finished. A couple of deacons, you know, they're, oh yeah, we forgot. You guys did forget, didn't you? Look at Dale turning red. That's hilarious. You didn't forget? Ah, good job. I think we can have the Lord's Supper with sandbags up here. I think it'll be okay. But it's all about, it is finished. Amen? Boy, it ought to just thrill your soul. It is finished. Well, you know, I think the Father, I believe that it is done. We are made in the image of God, and I think God probably does sigh sometimes, and because wow, the wrath of God, again, all along, the grace of God, the mercy of God, and then the wrath of God, and God is perfectly balanced. But what a battle that has to be and has been. And when his wrath is finally, it's poured out, it is done. It's like a huge sigh. And then, like I believe Brother Nordman said, Revelation 21 and verse 6, again, it says, it is done. And wow, you know, the whole thing is when it's all done. God's purpose, God making man and loving man, and loving man then because man sinned, loving man enough to send his own son to die for man so that man could spend eternity with God in heaven. For God so loved the world. He loved us so much, he would do that. And then to provide the way that we could go to heaven, what an amazing thing. But then to have to deal with sin, to have to deal with it, to let it turn his wrath loose. These vials are the wrath of God. And, you know, for some it's like, yes, it's about time, you know, because we get so tired of the devil. Ugh. But to God, you know, it's done. God's plan fulfilled, and then this attack, just an amazing thing. I'm gonna close here because it's just a natural spot to close. But you know, if you want to underline something in your Bible, there's three words that are good words to underline. It is done. And that is the judgments and the plagues on the earth, the wrath of God poured out. Obviously, there would be the battle of battles, but the plagues and everything on the earth, they are done. We'll start at verse 18 next week, and let's have a word of prayer, and we'll dismiss for the morning service.